Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Voices for Justice. My name is Michelle Bart, and I'll be your host this evening, September 30th, 2009. The music you were just hearing was dedicated to the search efforts for Lindsay Baum, and that was from Eric Paul, Where's Our Angel, and we'll have his information uploaded on the site later this evening. Brittany Drexel, Trenton Duckett, Amber Dubois, Lindsay Baum, Jamie Grissom, Tabitha Tudors, and Tika Lewis. Gone without a trace. Tonight, the mothers, the fathers, the grandmothers, the sisters, and the friends are here once again for Kidnapped, Part 3, Have You Seen Us? They continue to have a voice for their missing children, and tonight they're hoping our listeners will have a voice and a helping hand in bringing more answers to what happened to their precious angels. Tonight we have Bo Tudors with us, father of Tabitha Tudors, Carla Duckett, Trenton Duckett's grandmother, Brittany Drexel's mother, Dawn, Lindsay Baum's mom, Melissa, Jamie Grissom's sister, Star, and Tika Lewis's mother, Teresa. Tabitha Tudors went missing from Nashville, Tennessee, April 29th, 2003, at the age of 13. Today, she is 19 years of age. Trenton Duckett went missing in Florida at the age of 2 years old on August 22nd, 2006. Brittany Drexel, 17 years old, lives in New York, went missing from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, on April 25th, 2009. Amber Dubois went missing from Escondido, California, at 14 years of age, at 7:10 a.m. on Friday, February 13th, 2009. Lindsay Baum, 10 years old at the time, today she's 11 years old, went missing June 26, 2009, from McCleary, Washington. Jamie Grissom went missing December 7, 1971, at the age of 16 years old. Today, she would be 53. She went missing from Fort Vancouver, Washington High School. And Tika Lewis went missing at the tender age of 2 years of age, on January 23rd, 1999. Today, she is 13 years of age. Ladies and gentlemen listening to us, our panel will be taking your calls, but this is a time for them to reflect on how you can make a difference in helping them bring answers to the circumstances of their missing children and help them to bring them home. As I stated, the phone number to call in around 20 minutes after the hour, 347-838-8622. Again, the call-in number is 347-838-8622. All of their cases and faces can be seen if you go to nationalvigilforhope.org, and in the right-hand column, Have You Seen Us? All of their links to their websites are on there. We will talk with the families in a minute, keeping in mind that all of these cases throughout the country are still active and have not gone cold. So we need your help. There's reward money on the table for many of these cases. Phone numbers to the law enforcement agencies leading the investigations are on their websites, and we encourage you to find some way to lend a helping hand. Again, nationalvigilforhope.org, and you will see all of their cases on there. Call in number again, 347-838-8622. We have Dawn Drexel. Dawn, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, on Brittany's case, what's going on the case? What's new since the last time we spoke with you?
Well, there's not really much to report on Brittany's case. There has been a lot of leads that have been coming from her billboards that were put up. There was three put up in South Carolina in the Myrtle Beach area, and then there was one in Georgetown where they conducted the first search for her. They have been getting leads, but nothing that's panning out. They are going to be going in to do a large-scale search in the next few weeks for Brittany. But, again, we haven't really heard too much of anything. I know that there's a $16,000 reward out for any information leading to Brittany's whereabouts. I also, her birthday is coming up, her 18th birthday, which is October 7th, which is going to be very difficult for me and my family. Brittany really enjoyed birthdays. We always made a big deal out of it. So we're looking to doing a balloon release for her birthday, and it'll be coming up on 6 months that she's been missing.
And the vigil is what? What's the date that you're doing the balloon release?
We'd like to do the balloon release on October 18th. That date has not been set in stone yet, but that's when we're hoping to do that because it's in between her birthday and also her 6 month.
Okay, and you'll let us know so that we can let our listeners know that are following Voices for Justice?
Yes.
And then we'll also put it up on the website. I'm going to go over to Jamie Grissom's sister, Star Laura. Star, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, thanks.
Anything new with Jamie's search efforts? I know that we have a search coming up in October and all.
Uh-huh. About a month ago, I did meet with the search guy from K-9 Search and Rescue out of Longview, Harry, and he showed me a location near, actually it was right by where one girl survived a brutal attack and got my sister's alleged killer imprisoned. And Harry showed me where his search dogs alerted to a scent, a death scent, what he calls a death scent. And October 10th, approximately, the Clark County Sheriff's Office is going to conduct a search in that general area. So that's what's coming up for her.
Okay. And we still have her website up and running, helpfindjamiegrissom.com. So following up with that, we also have from our last show as well, Melissa Baum. Melissa, are you with us?
I am.
Hi, Melissa. How's it going on Lindsay's case?
Well, we had a really large search happen this past weekend by law enforcement. They served some search warrants, two search warrants on some adjacent properties. They did collect a lot of things that they took back, but they didn't find, as they called it, the smoking gun. So at this point, there's really nothing new.
The music is wonderful from Eric Paul. That was really nice that he did that.
He actually just did another one. We just got it yesterday for it's a different song. It's still about Lindsay, but it's a little more upbeat. It is a different song, but it's a really nice song. We just haven't got that out yet because he actually just finished it. I believe it was yesterday. So,
well, as soon as it's up and running, tell him to send us over the the link, and we'll be happy to upload that as well. We've been using also Light From Your Eyes by Iz, who donated that generously to the search efforts for Amber Dubois. Amber Dubois' grandmother, Sheila Welsh, could not be with us. She had a family emergency with her father this evening, but same thing going on with Amber's case. You know, missing from Friday, February 13th. Search efforts are still ongoing. The website can be found on our page as well. Together with all of these cases, they were here a couple weeks ago on Voices for Justice. They're back. But a couple new cases have come to us, and recently one case in particular that Melissa referred over was Teresa Lewis, whose daughter is Tika Lewis. She was 2 years of age at the time she went missing on January 23rd, 1999 from a bowling alley in Tacoma, Washington, and today she's 13 years of age. Her link on nationalvigilforhope.org is directed to the age progression photo at our friends at National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, missingkids.com. Teresa, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Teresa. I'd like to say welcome, but I guess under the circumstances, you know, we're sorry that you'd have to come on and talk about your daughter, but what can the public listening to this, because I know with what I've learned from our folks at America's Most Wanted, as well as from Melissa and yourself, a two-year-old with a whole slew of family in a bowling alley just disappears and gone without a trace is hard to fathom in today's world, especially even in 1999. So can you tell us a little bit about Teresa? I'm sorry, about Tika?
You know, it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, whoever took my daughter got away with her, you know, because she was such a mama's girl, and she wouldn't let nobody touch her or hold her. You know, family members couldn't even do it because she was so close to me. The only ones that really could hold her is her sisters and me. So it's just kind of hard for me to believe that, you know, this person got away with her without her screaming. I mean, there was over 300 people in this bowling alley that night, and not one person seen anything. I can't believe it. You know, she was too much of a mama's girl for anybody just to leave with her.
Especially as quick as it was.
I believe
it was just a matter of turning around, looking at something. She's in the arcade with a family member, and then next thing you know, she's gone. My question to you last night was, every bowling alley, because it's a form of gambling in a bowling alley, every bowling alley has video cameras, but it was very disheartening to hear that this particular night that a child is kidnapped at that bowling alley, the cameras were off.
Yes,
now,
they were
off. Tell me they were broken. Tell me that the film got erased. Tell me something. But to tell me that the cameras were off, I have a problem with that, and it's not against law enforcement, it's not against anybody else, but if the shoe was on the other foot and this was my child, I would wonder why this particular day those cameras were off.
We've asked many questions about the same thing. Why were the cameras off? You know, somebody in that bowling alley knows what happened. And
did they investigate all the employees that night?
There was one person there that was not questioned.
There was one person in the entire staff that wasn't questioned?
I don't know if he was a staff member, but I know that there was one person from the bowling alley that night that was not questioned. And he was arrested a week later. I don't know what he was arrested for, but there was one person that was not questioned. And come 10 years later, now they want to question this person.
Well, that's a good step in the right direction. At least they're still investigating the circumstances all these years later. You know, many of these cases, I think, Star, you're still with us, Star?
Yes, can you hear me?
I mean, your two cases are the oldest that are with us this evening. So, you know, it's hard for families, I'm sure, to go all these years and keep the fight up. How is that with investigations and the police and media, you know, and things of that nature when we know after a while, even the earliest of cases, you know, pan out in the media sometimes. So how difficult is that for families like yourselves?
I try to keep my daughter's picture in the media as much as I can. For birthdays, anniversaries, anytime I can get her picture out there, I do it. I beg the media, you know, come on, we need to put Tika's picture out there. You know, she's out there somewhere, and we need to bring her home. It's hard. It's been an up and down roller coaster for me. Many, just a lot of things that has coming in and that has not panned out. I've had three cases which they thought the child was mine, which were deceased, but the DNA came out that it wasn't mine. So I've had many roller coasters of finding, thought we found her and we didn't. You know, deep down inside in my heart, I believe my daughter is out there and she's alive and somebody's taking care of her, but it's time to let her go.
What about you, Star?
Well, in my case, you know, with organizations like yours, Michelle, I keep her story out there, and I do what I can to spread the word. There's a local news station, KOI and Local 6, that whenever a missing girl's remains are found, they are very nice and contact me and talk about my sister's story. I tell whoever I can. I told all three of my classes that I'm taking. I told all the students to listen tonight. I tell anybody that I can because you just never know what can happen. And I join different internet sites and, you know, just try and keep her story out there, especially when this convicted killer is going to get out in a few years.
And that opens a whole other can of worms and a lot of other issues that go into all these searches. You mentioned Coin 6. I too would like to plug Coin 6 because CNN is wonderful for all of your families and all of the missing folks. But when you get a local station like Coin 6, who's a CBS affiliate, they have a show on called Forgotten. Recently has come out, and Coin 6 has been good for Jamie's case. Amy
yes,
Frazier yes. And all the folks over there keep it local, etc. Teresa, have you found you know, any stations in the Tacoma, Seattle area that have been helpful for you, or has it been that after the first year it's been difficult getting Tika's story out there?
Well, when the state of Washington, you know, comes up with missing children, they usually call me and they ask me my input and if I have any regards to the families of the missing children. And, you know, they come to me. On a regular basis, we, you know, the stations, they come to me or I come to them. And like on her anniversary date, they do a big thing for me on her birthday, you know, because she was born on the 4th of July.
So they do a big story then. But as far, yeah, within 6 months, the media died down, and even the police department died down after 6 months of my daughter being missing. So it's hard for me. I have to push the police department to do something for me.
I know in the Tacoma area, I'm not sure about Nashville and such, but we'll hear from Bo in a minute. But I know in California, in Florida, and in the state of Washington, in the Northwest here, to play devil's advocate with law enforcement, I've been working alongside many of the agencies out here, and it's incredible how many cases are on their desk. To say that they're interviewing somebody now after 10 years, at least they're interviewing someone. But, yeah, it is hard, I'm sure, on the families to keep pushing it. I've seen firsthand from many of you what you have to do with law enforcement and the media, et cetera. But, you know, in the end, how can you give up hope, right?
Yeah, well, the person of interest they have now, they have not talked to him yet. They have a month to get to Florida, because this man is on parole down there and he's about to get off parole. Now, we'll be lucky if he talks to the police department and if they can give him, if they'll let him do a polygraph. So, it's a 50-50 chance this person will talk to the police department about what happened that night.
Well, we'll all be saying our prayers. Melissa has the search efforts on Lindsay recently. Has there been any discovery, or are you any closer to finding out the circumstances of Lindsay's
disappearance? No, not really. I know law enforcement, of course, I'm hopeful anyways, but I know law enforcement's hopeful that this latest search will generate some new information. I'm sure everybody on here is aware that the law enforcement, they don't really share a lot. They can't. Mm-hmm. I do understand that, but as we all know, it's very frustrating to just accept that. At this point, they're just continuing to search and investigate.
Okay. Well, a case that's also getting into the years is a case out of Nashville, Tennessee. Tabitha Tudors went missing on April 29th, 2003, and I believe we have her father with us. Bo, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Mr. Tudors. How are you, sir?
Well, fine, according to what kind of situation we're going through.
Yeah, definitely. I know that Tabitha went missing at 13 years of age early in the morning walking to the bus stop. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And today she'd be 19 years of age.
Yes, ma'am.
What's going on the case, and how can the listeners help all of you out there in Nashville?
Just try to find her. The case, the authorities here say that the case is in better shape than it's ever been, but, she's still not at home with us like she should be. And like the lady just said just a few minutes ago, they just tell you enough to keep you in suspense and all that stuff, and they won't tell you the real truth or nothing, so what can you do? You call them and ask them. They say, well, we're doing this and we're doing that, but actually, are they doing anything? Who knows if they're doing anything on any missing child's case?
Kathy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Kathy. We also have Kathy Johnston out of Clarksville, Tennessee, who is the executive director of Angel's Wings Air Search and Rescue, who has been working with the Tudor family for many, many months on this case. Kathy, from your end, the investigation, you know, I know that we've gone down a couple roads and things of that nature without impeding the investigation by far. You know, what is, from a professional's experience, what is happening out there in Tennessee with this case?
Right now, I mean, we don't really know what the authorities are doing. I mean, we have gone to, you know, to extreme measures to make contact with them, asking, you know, what's going on. Months go by, still there's no report. I do believe as of recent, the tutors have received, you know, confirmation of a meeting that's going to be scheduled in the near future. But we've had, I mean, there are some positive things that are, you know, they're going to be done and followed. It's just putting everything into place and, you know, making it happen.
Whatever happened with the, now, wasn't there some kind of lead or something in the Florida area, or was that a couple years back?
I believe that was last year that was aired on TV that there was a spotting. Someone had supposedly spotted her in the Florida area. But I don't know if that was, you know, if anything ever came of that. I don't think that it did.
Bo, anything on the Florida situation? How many tips and leads have you had on Tabitha?
Well, when she first come up missing, we had quite a few. Then now that, you know, it's over 6 years, you know, they don't come in like we want them to. But when some of them comes in, the authorities here, you know, they don't take them for granted and all that stuff. And we'll go out and we'll try to track the person down or the girl down or whatever, and we still do it on our own. Sometimes the authorities won't even do it, and we just take it. Like I said, on our own, we'll take it to it and take money out of our own pocket and have to do it stuff, which it's worth it.
What can you tell families that are less than a year out in retrospect to that? You know, what creative means have you had to do in order to keep it going? The website is beautiful for Tabitha. Many different areas, if you go there, folks, to take a look at her site, stickers, you know, you can put on the back of your envelopes, things of that nature. All of you have buttons, and I have Amber's shirt on today and Lindsay's button, you know. So everybody has the promotional aspect. Is there anything that you all have done in the last 4 or 5 years that tends to bring out more leads and tips?
Well, we have at the school that Tabitha attended, April the 29th, every year we have a candlelight vigil there, and we have quite a few people show up there. And from there, you know, they get 3 or 4 tips in from that, because, you know, it refreshes in people's mind that she's still out there and she needs to come home. And for the people out there, it's going into it for a year, it doesn't get any better. You know, I hate to tell them that, but it doesn't get any better.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Kathy and Bo, stay with us, please. We'll be right back. Let me go to the caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question today? Hello? Okay, caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question today?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear
us? Yeah, I'm actually Tika's aunt calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to make comment to your guest that, yeah, it does not get better at all, like the guy just said. It just gets worse as the years goes by, especially Tika's case. It's been 10 years, and it gets worse. And, you know, you don't hear anything anymore unless you get the word out yourself.
Were you at the bowling alley that evening also, ma'am?
No, actually, I was out in Seattle that night, and I got home around midnight, and that's when I heard about Tika being kidnapped that night.
And what has the family, I know Teresa has told us a lot about what's been happening out there. What has the family, what does this do to the family watching? Is Teresa your sister?
Teresa's my sister, my younger sister.
So how is it on the family members that have to also be strong, not only for bringing home your loved one, but also for the immediate family going through all of this?
Well, we have to all have to stay strong for each other. I mean, we don't give up hope. And if something comes up to where Teresa's saying, oh, they're investigating this and that, we don't get ourselves down. We just pray and hope that, like, there's an incident where there was a DNA test done on this lady and this girl that was found in New Jersey in the woods. We don't let it get down. We just keep and pray that this is not going on, that that it wasn't her. But then, of course, we want to close the chapter and find out what really happened to Tika that night.
Teresa, are you with us, Teresa?
Yes, I am.
Your sister's mentioning how it's difficult. You mentioned the roller coaster ride when you get word that you know, somebody's been found or remains have been found. You know, do you keep the cell phone on? Do you turn it off? I mean, do you go out there and help other families? You know, the roller coaster ride, what do you do in order to survive it?
I keep my phone on at all times. A couple years back, they had a sighting of Tika in Texas, and the little girl resembled my daughter like 95% of her. And so the FBI went down there and did DNA, but, you know, come to find out it wasn't my child. And this child was from Tacoma, but it just wasn't mine. So it's a huge roller coaster. You know, my mother she's old, but she's still there for me. I've had plenty of ups and downs, and she's my backbone. You know, she's there when I need her.
And I
try, just, you know, a year ago, a little girl, she was kidnapped on the 4th of July, and she was found about a week later. She was found dead, and I went to her family and, you know, and told them, look, I'm a mother of a missing child myself, and I know what you're going through. And it's just hard to go to another family knowing that I have a missing child. I don't want nobody out here to go through what I have to go through, not only my family, but what I go through with the police department.
Yeah, I've seen that firsthand from some families, and it's a difficult time. I thank you to the caller on that question. I want to bring Bo back and ask him, both Teresa and Bo, actually, with your cases, and we also have Star Laura, the sister of Jamie Grissom, with all of your cases, unlike the rest of the panel this evening, your children went missing at a time that age progression photos have become a norm. How difficult is it to envision if the age progression photo is that of what your daughter would look like at this time?
Well, for me, I have a daughter that resembles Tika a lot. So I look at my little girl, and I can see Tika in her. So they've used her for many age progressions. And, I mean, it hurts. It hurts a lot knowing that I have a little girl that just looks exactly like the little girl that I'm missing.
What about you, Bo?
Well, it's hard to get the 13-year-old girl that went missing out of my mind, because that's how she was the last time we saw her. And it's hard to look at them progressive pictures and think that that is her. Because we still see her as a 13-year-old little girl that went missing.
Star, what about you? Well, in regards to Jamie's age progression photo, which has been the longest of all of you on the line today.
Well, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they did an age progression because since she is an active case, they did that for free. And, you know, it was something I'd always wanted to wonder what she might look like. And, you know, but, of course, in my mind, she's frozen to the last day I saw her also. But I am grateful to have that age progression.
Kathy, are you still with us?
I am.
Hi, Kathy. In your line of work, how many of – the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's been some dialogue between myself and others in regards to some of the recent age progression photos that one would put out there, that we know when if the child has been found. We work with Transitions Global on human trafficking and such out here in the Northwest, and many of the cases that we've seen, the age progression photo is not too accurate. And then I look at Trenton Duckett, which his grandmother couldn't make it this evening, but his age progression photo makes him look like he's 6 years old. So how accurate in your line of work, what do they utilize in order to capture what they believe the child may look like despite any outside elements such as being trafficked, drugged, things of that nature?
Well, I actually spoke with the National Center, about 6 or 7 months ago when I started working with the tutors. And I spoke with the photo department. They actually have, from my understanding, 4 artists. And, I mean, basically they go with your dominant features. I mean, you know, your eyes, they try to capture the eyes because normally your eyes don't change. You know, gravity's going to take its toll, but... I mean, the nose can always change. You break your nose, it's going to look different. You know, your face is going to, of course, come down somewhat. But a lot of times they may look at, you know, parents and siblings as well and try to capture features from, you know, relatives to make similarities. But, you know, I really think they do the best that they can do with, you know, trying to make these pictures. If they get 25%, you know, right, they're happy. If they get 50%, they're ecstatic, from my understanding. That's what I was, you know, told. But a lot of times, you know, we want to see these people, you know, our loved ones, you know, like the image of them look like these pictures, but that's not always the case.
It's not always the case. And the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have been wonderful.
Yeah.
We've partnered with them, and their Take 25 program is also wonderful, where they're educating the public on taking 25 minutes, you know, to educate and keep your kids safe. And you can visit them at missingkids.com, of course. And if you go to that site, missingkids.com, and enter your state or city, you're able to find which missing children are in your area, and that way you can contact those families and see how you can make a difference in your community. I want to go back to Dawn. Are you still with us?
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit, you know, all of your cases have, you know, have a lot of questions, I should say. If you don't hear the questions, you know, on the shows that you all do and things of that nature, questions come up when we're doing phone conferences, things of that nature. In your particular case, I think everybody, if you watch Nancy Grace, you know who Lindsey Baum is. You know who, you know, Brittany is, you know. And so these cases, however you want to classify them, there's things that stand out in people's minds. Your daughter left for spring break to Myrtle Beach with a group of friends. Without naming names, of course, because we're not here to impede anybody's investigations, but how hard is it to watch your daughter on video? The videos were working at this hotel that day. How is it to watch your daughter walk into that hotel on April 25th, 2009, in a good mood and walk out in a good mood and then gone in a trace and nobody seems to know where she's at? What is that like for a parent to keep watching that over and over again on the news and knowing it makes no sense?
It's horrible. I mean, you know, every parent that goes through this, the most horrible thing that could ever happen to you. And the hotel that Brittany was walking into, that's actually the only camera when she had walked into the hotel and walked back out. We couldn't see her face when she was walking back out, so we don't know what kind of mood she was in. But as soon as she left that hotel, she was gone within about probably 5 to 7 minutes.
And what about the cameras on the street?
The cameras on the street, I was told by Myrtle Beach, do not work.
You're not the first time we've heard that. You know, it's like everybody thinks, "Oh wow, the cameras on street corners and things of that nature that capture you without a problem when you run a red light." Many of the cities I have learned, those cameras are just there for looks. Is that what you were told, or in retrospect?
I mean, the cameras, they told me that the cameras, they're working on them to get them up and working. I mean, because Myrtle Beach is a very transient place. I mean, you've got a lot of people traveling there, you know, and things like that. So they are looking into getting them up, but they weren't up that night. They did have a video of Brittany walking down Ocean Boulevard. But that was actually from a hotel that was on the opposite side of the street. But that was her walking to the hotel, to the Blue Water Hotel from the Bar Harbor, which is about 20. I mean, just to let you know, these hotels, it's like 22 blocks apart. So it took Brittany about a half hour just to walk down to that hotel.
And still, nobody in all of Myrtle Beach noticed this beautiful girl walking with her head up? No witnesses whatsoever?
No one is talking. But I found out a lot, too. A lot of people will not talk to the police down there. I found that out really quick. I mean, I had people coming up to me, giving me different you know, different stories about, you know, what they saw. There was a girl that actually came up to me, and she had said that she had saw Brittany in the hotel, not at the Blue Water, at the Bar Harbor. But, I mean, they don't like talking to the police. And
how about the people at
the
hotel? Have they been talking to you, the family, or media, or anything of that nature?
Well, me with the media exposure down there, you know, I got a lot of media exposure down there with Brittany, because when I, the day, into that night when she went missing at 9:15 at night. She wasn't reported missing until 10 to 5 the next morning. So Brittany didn't have those critical hours because the kids that were down there did not want to call the police. So that day I left to go to Myrtle Beach, and when we got to Myrtle Beach on Monday, I went right to the news station and got on the air because I wanted to get her face out there, because if anybody had seen her, and, you know, it was fresh, if anybody had seen her or anything, they would be able to go ahead and you know, either, you know, call the police or, you know, maybe tell us. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times we went up and down that boulevard. We talked to business owners. We were handing out flyers. We posted flyers. Some of the flyers were taken down after we posted them because they didn't want a bad rep. You know, they didn't want a missing poster out there because of it being such a, you know, vacationing area.
Pretty sad,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And, it, you know, but, you know, we went back out again and put them up again. I mean, we went literally from Myrtle Beach and headed south. We got down to Charleston handing out flyers and everything. Flyers, you know, just talking to people. And they had gotten a lot of leads, but just none of them panned out. You know, and I do, you know, I hear, like, you know, Teresa saying that, you know, they had sightings. They had a lot of sightings of Brittany, too. And it's difficult because, you know, they tell you, well, oh, maybe it's her, and then they go and view the video, and then it's not. It's like giving you false hope, and it's just, it's horrible. You know, I'll tell you, Michelle, when I met you in New York, that was a wonderful, wonderful conference that we attended.
Oh,
and
for Amber Ready.
That is correct. And hi, Melissa.
Hi, Dawn.
I miss you. I love you. We're still praying for Lindsay.
We're still praying for Brittany, too. We've just been tied up with the search center trying to get that going. We actually finally got a building, and it's been chaotic.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But you know what? We all need to stick together. As parents of these missing kids, we need to go to Congress. We need to pass laws. We need to be the voices for our children.
I agree with that. I know. I told Suzanne, I said, as soon as you can use me, call me, because I'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
They're speaking about Suzanne Stanford with Amber Ready, and their link is also on our site. Amber Ready is a company out there that helps to keep your children's information on your cell phone. So take a look at them, amberready.com. I actually have put all of you on the air now, so that for the next 30 minutes or so, we'll still be taking some calls. If you call 347-838-8622, again, 347-838-8622, whether you're in Tennessee, New York, South Carolina, North Dakota, Washington, California, Florida, Texas, wherever or in between, please do call in and ask your questions of these family members. But for now, we have everybody on the line. And I want, are there support groups out there for all of you? You know, we tried to do a form. There's a couple gals associated with National Vigil for Hope that tried their efforts at forms, because sisters and siblings were asking for a safe place to talk. There was another form for families and parents, a place to talk, and not too many people signed up. And despite the fact that 10, 15, 20 people were asking for it, it seems as if it's easier to possibly talk when we're in a surrounding situation, such as with Amber Ready at a conference or we're doing something with National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. But is there places that you find, a place of safety, a place to talk with people that know what you're going through? Any of you can chime in on that.
Well, this is Star. I find the internet is a great place for finding those. I just found one yesterday, and I can't totally remember the name. It's Peace for the Missing, I think. Peaceforthemissing.com or .org. And you can join that and go on there, and they have a whole thing where you can make up a slide show of your missing family member, and there's a lot of support on there with other families that are going through the same thing. So I really thought that was a good place to go.
Anyone else? Teresa, Bo, Melissa?
Well, luckily, this is Melissa. You know, mine, thank heavens, and I pray it doesn't get that long. I haven't been going through it as long as most everybody on here. But for me, it was, you know, Lindsay had only been gone about 6 weeks when we went to New York. And it was kind of a nice being with a group of parents who had been there and been going through it. You know, it's different because, you know, your normal friends and family, you know, they of course are hurting too, but at the same time, you know, who knows better than the ones that are actually going through exactly what you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Teresa, how about yourself?
There's no support groups in Tacoma for missing children.
We'll have to fix that.
I've talked to the Weathering family. Their son's been missing for over 21 years now. I talked to her, and there was a lady here from the National Center. She was a support person. She came to my vigil 2 years ago, but I've never heard from her since.
Teresa, you can call me anytime. You know, Michelle, I find that, you know, with talking to people, I just talked to Megan Maxwell's mom. She went missing the day after Brittany in Tennessee. And, you know, I really enjoyed speaking with her. And, you know, we both of us, we're going through the same thing. And I talked to her for about an hour on the phone, and I think it's with every parent, you know, whether, you know, it be, I talked to Melissa, it's a lot of support because we can lean on each other, and we know what each other is going through.
Well, and we also can share ideas because, like, I went after New York, I went and ordered business cards like what you had.
Oh, those are
And they've
nice.
Been great. People love them because they can stick them in their wallets, whereas if you're passing out flyers, you know, they get left in people's cars or they get thrown away. If it's something like the business card, they just fit right in their wallet and people can refer back to it.
Yep, and stickers. It's been great, too, here.
Teresa and Melissa, how did you two meet?
Teresa actually contacted me last week after I did a Cairo radio interview during our it was last Saturday. We had media like crazy because they had the big law enforcement search going on. And then it was also the day of the 3-month vigil for Lindsay. And
right.
Teresa contacted me after that Cairo radio, and we talked for 45 minutes to an hour. I just haven't, and I know, Dawn, I know. I'm not ignoring you, I swear. I just have, it's like my phone rings nonstop, and I just can't even keep track at this point anymore.
I was there.
I'm bad about
there.
Not getting it back to people lately, so.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just not a problem.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is Star. I wanted to say that regarding my sister, I had someone come forward when her story first came out recently. But, you know, it had been dead for so long, and then about 10 years ago, it came out in the local paper, and I had a lady contact me whose sister, Carolyn Killaby, is a famous case that's appeared on Forensic Files and America's Most Wanted. And her sister actually went missing on the same day as my sister, just years and years later. and she's been a tremendous support to me. She lost her younger sister, and I lost my older sister. And, you know, she's just been great. So I think it really helps to help somebody that's been through it, because her sister's body was never found either, even though the killer was convicted, Dennis Smith, and he later hung himself in prison. But she, too, is still searching for her sister's remains. And so the two of us are kind of going through the same thing. So it really helps to have somebody like that in your life.
Can I ask a question for Star?
Sure.
This is Melissa.
Sure.
Hi.
Star, I have a 12-year-old son, mm-hmm. and he's having just a really – how old were you when your sister went missing?
I was 14.
My son will be 13 in January. He's just having and I'm sure all the siblings are.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a very difficult time with his sister being gone, and it's getting worse as time goes on.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if you had any ideas on helping the siblings cope. You know, I try to keep his hopes up and, you know, try and say, you know, we're going to find her. We're going to find her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to come home. And he has his days, you know. He has his good days and he has his bad days. And it's been a real hard thing for him.
It is hard. And I think the biggest thing is just acknowledging it, what you are doing. And, you know, maybe there is a support group for him, too, or a counselor that deals with that sort of thing to help him.
We've got him in counseling.
Uh-huh.
But I have to agree with Teresa. There's really not support groups in our area for this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is because it doesn't happen here like it does
other places. There's
you don't, it happens there, you just don't hear about it.
True.
There's a website also called Project Jason, and I don't remember the whole
thing.
But
yeah, I think it's projectjason.org.
Yeah, and she contacted me, the sibling of Jason, because she wanted to talk to somebody who had lost a sibling. And if there aren't support groups in your area, maybe you can look on the net, and maybe there's another mother that, you know, has children whose siblings are going through that too, that could help.
That's a good idea.
Because
yeah,
it is really, really hard to lose a sibling. It's very hard.
Teresa,
does
Tika have siblings?
Yes, Tika has three oldest ones and two younger ones. And my oldest ones, they were in second grade at the time. And then the other one, she was Mike Ecap at the time. And for my oldest twin, she wouldn't go to school. She wouldn't go back to school. It took
that problem with mine.
Yes, it took her 3 months to go back to school, and she wouldn't come home, so she stayed with her grandma for 3 months. My daughters still deal with it till this day. My oldest daughter finally admitted it, that she needed counseling. You know, and she's 18 now, but they just graduated from high school, and the best thing that they did for their high school was they did a project on missing children.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And it helped them a lot, because they read up on everything, and in the state of Washington, there has not been a missing child found here. Never.
Wow.
We still
have.
Well,
we're gonna find mine.
Yeah. You know.
Bo, are you still with us, Bo? Bo.
Yes.
Are you still with us? I know Tabitha has a sibling or two, doesn't she?
Yes.
How has it been on them all of this time?
Well, her brother, he's oldest. He keeps a lot of frustration held inside.
Hmm.
And my other daughter, which mother two children, they both have three children of their own, and now they'd only let their children out of their sight hardly.
Hmm.
And it turns everybody's life that the father, the mother, the siblings, the grandmother, the aunts, uncles, they have a missing child in their family, it turns their whole, it turns everyone in that family's life upside
down.
It has. Both. It has in 3 months.
This is Star. One thing I wanted to say that has helped me is to stay in touch with my sister's friends.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, I just learned something about my sister that I had never known before, that she taught my her friend, which is now my friend. She taught her everything she knew about drawing, and that sort of thing was a big comfort to me to be around my sister's friends.
Right.
You know,
well,
it just helped to keep a part of her still.
Well, my 13-year-old daughter, when she came up, missed her best friend. One of them was 72, the other one was 83, and the other one was 54.
Mm-hmm.
That was her best friend.
Mm.
And the eldest one, she passed away last year. And
that was your daughter's best friend?
That was my daughter's best friend.
Oh.
We would have a birthday party for her every year and all that stuff. And they live right next door to us. And if she wanted to go to their house, she would not go out the door and run over there. She would ask me or her mother, could she go over their house?
Oh.
You know, and the eldest one, she called her grandma. She wasn't her grandma, but we all went along with it. She would go over there and read to her.
Oh, that's nice.
Right.
You see that in the South. When I lived in Tennessee, this is Melissa again. And actually, the scary thing is, I lived in Tennessee at the time Tabitha was abducted, but I lived in Northwest Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
in Martin. And then, of course, I lived on Fort Lewis in Tacoma, Washington, when Tika was taken. But in the South, you know, you have older ladies and so forth that are neighbors, and they enjoy getting out with those kids. And my kids my kids were toddlers in Tennessee, and we had an elderly neighbor in her 80s, and my kids loved to go to Miss Louise's house because she always gave them pocket candy. You know, she'd fill their pockets with Hershey Kisses, and, you know, they developed a bond with her, too. And that's something you don't say in the bigger cities, I have to say.
Yeah.
That's
not so unusual down there.
That's neat. Well, I know.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is Star. I know that when my sister disappeared, I began to run away. And, kids deal with it in different ways. One thing I used to do, and I'm not saying it was good, but I used to write her letters telling her how much I missed her, and I'd still buy her a birthday present and a Christmas present just so that when she came back, she'd know I didn't forget her. That's how I dealt with it. You know, and one thing I wished I would have done was keep track of her friends at the time because, after a while, you forget their names. And
yeah,
I found out a lot of information later on from her friends. And there's a famous case out there now, disappearance of the Dairy Queen, that was solved after 26 years when they went back and contacted she was 13 at the time, the girl. They went back and contacted her friends 26 years later. And those two girls knew where she had gone that day. And from there, they were able to convict the guy who finally gave up where he had left her remains after 26 years. And it was from her classmates. So, you know.
Why did they not come forward before with that? Did law enforcement not interview her friends?
Well, nobody ever made note of it. They just never interviewed them. And they never realized that they were children, too. They were, 13 at the time, too.
They've all interviewed Lindsay's friends and stuff.
They
so I'm
have.
Curious okay. as to why they wouldn't have
well,
interviewed
maybe
her
because
friends.
It was 26 years ago. They just
well, maybe
didn't.
So.
Yeah. Because I know with my sister, they used to say, oh, well, are you sure she just didn't run away? That's the worst thing you can say to a sibling, you know.
Can't say that also to the cases that the child is 2 years old, like Trenton or
exactly.
Tika.
That's right.
You know,
but it's a terrible thing to say to a family member.
It is terrible, and it's also twice as difficult when you're trying to do the investigation and the family knows that the child would have never run away.
Exactly.
I believe that was the situation in the beginning with Amber Dubois. They still have classified her endangered missing, not knowing if she's run away or has been abducted by a stranger. And so in that particular case, which I've been working closely with the grandmother on, I feel confident in saying she didn't run away. And I know that both her grandmother and her parents and everybody know that also in their hearts, that she was not a runaway. The MO, if you will, would have not been runaway for Amber. But because they can't rule it out, unfortunately, that must be difficult for the families when
they did
they
it with
have
Lindsay
to listen.
Too. They automatically say, "Oh, you know, we have to make sure they didn't run away." And that was my biggest frustration. There's only three roads in and out of my town,
and in your case, they didn't even block them off.
Exactly,
you know?
They did. Oh, they did 2 weeks later. They did roadblocks coming in and out of town 2 weeks later. They did it two different times, both on Friday.
But did it really make a difference if the child ran away? Shouldn't they still be found, and shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should.
Look at how we battled. We battled with the one officer on duty that night because he didn't even call in. I mean, it was hours before they even called in an APB. They never did an Amber Alert. If the cop would have taken, and he knows my child. He knows she didn't run away. But I think it was this has never happened here, and they didn't quite know what to expect, and they thought, okay, you know, obviously I thought at first she had just gotten sidetracked coming home from Kayla's house. Mm-hmm. That was my initial reaction. But I knew by the time I called law enforcement and I'd looked all over the place for her, I knew at that point she didn't just get sidetracked.
Yeah, and family members know. They know.
I think family members do, especially like, you know, look at the case in Malibu right now that's been all over Jane Velez and issues. You know, people know that these people aren't runaways. They just don't disappear. What has happened, you know, and I believe families do know. Yes, there are circumstances where some families don't know what's happening. And aren't familiar with what's going on with a loved one or a child. But for the most part, one would know if a child ran away, and especially in Tika's situation and Trenton's situation, the case is, I'm not familiar with too much of Trenton's situation, but I know that his mother had been under such scrutiny for kidnapping the child when the entire family does not believe that she kidnapped the child. The entire family does not believe that she did anything with the child either in that particular case. The mother kills herself, and they still think that she did something. She's left notes, but
Michelle,
not a thing in the notes.
They always scrutinize the parents or whatever the case may be, but you know what? These people are not going through what we go through, what we live with every day. You know, their child's not missing. And, you know, people can say, well, you know, oh, well, maybe she was a bad girl or maybe this or maybe that, but they don't know. Okay. Nobody knows unless your child is missing. You know, and that's the worst thing. I mean, they scrutinized me. There was stuff all over blogs and everything else. And you know what? These people have no idea, none whatsoever, what it is like.
Oh, the blogs is a whole other pathetic issue that creates problems.
The internet can make you or break you. That's the bottom line. MySpace, Facebook, all of them. Great if you have a business and you're marketing and keeping in touch with loved ones and friends and everything else. But obviously, you know, a lot of children go missing because of the internet. Mm-hmm. But those outlets are trying to help law enforcement also do blocks and things of that nature. But in this particular case,
you know, the blogs, I've told many of you in conversation, you know, especially me, I mean, in my case, I've been beaten up quite a bit, and I don't even have a missing child. But, you know, just because I've gotten involved in some cases, you have to see your name out there. The best thing to do, don't blog, don't go on the sites and read the stuff, because trust me, you'll only get down, and you need all the strength you have in order to keep moving forward, to keep hope alive and to bring your children home.
We don't read them.
It's hard not to sometimes. I mean, people send me things. Like yesterday, for instance, one of my Soroptimist members, she sent me something and asked me if this was true. It was a case of a North Dakota child that's been missing for 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden somebody's sending out this chain letter, you know, I'm going to keep this up until she comes home, kind of thing. Well, there's a site, which I don't know it offhand right now, but there's a site that you can actually put in bogus emails to see if they're bogus. And this particular email is bogus, and they're taking children that are missing. None of your children were listed. I looked them all up last night. But this particular child has been missing. She has not been found. She's still registered with the National Center, and yet people in the UK, et cetera, are using their picture to not only exploit the situation, but one would think, oh, this is going to help find my child. Let's just resend this to 10 friends. You resend it, and all it's doing is putting a spy, an iSpy or something in people's computers. You know, and so this crap is happening. So the best thing to do, hit the delete button unless you know who it's coming from and you know the source. But it's pathetic what people are doing out there that don't know you, that don't know the situation. You would never wish this on your worst enemy, and yet these people are out there slandering and doing defamation against all of you and those that come to the plate to help you. Such as EquiSearch and myself and Class Kids and all the organizations that are wonderful, that at this point it's like, you know, you need to stop and think before you write something, you know?
Michelle,
go ahead, Dawn.
Michelle, I just want to say something to everybody. I came in contact with a wonderful woman. She's from the Q Center. Her name is Monica Kaysen. She heads the Q Center. She goes out and does searches. She's done this for over 15 years. She searches for missing persons. I'll tell you, if you go to her website and you ever want her to come down and search, go to her website, put the information that she would need to get in contact with you. She goes all over the place to search for missing kids. She brings her dogs. She brings in teams of people to help her search. They actually take time off from their own jobs to go and help her search. She's a wonderful woman, so if you ever have a chance to, look that up on the internet, it's the Q Center for Missing Persons. She's been wonderful, and she's an advocate also for me.
Also out your way, if cases are early on, if law enforcement are listening, I know a couple stations that do listen to this, VK9 Scent Specific Search and Rescue, wonderful group of people out on the East Coast, Julie Jones and Sarah Platts, they have dogs that specialize in exit trails. And I was never a believer of dogs, but I'm a true believer at this point of this group. And so they, too, are a nonprofit, as well as Texas EquiSearch or, you know, like I said, Class Kids, Laurel.
Laura Recovery Center.
Laura Recovery. They're all wonderful organizations. They're there for the right reasons. And folks should just give them the benefit of the doubt, because without these organizations, most of the cases that are solved where a child comes home, our police departments that open the box to Helping Hands.
Yeah, she was someone that was missing for 10 years.
Michelle? Yeah, Michelle, the star.
Uh-huh.
The National Center for Missing Children, they have a caseworker for each missing child, and I recently had my sister's caseworker contact me, and he has told me that they have some sort of equipment that they can make available to law enforcement to help in a search. So anyone that has a missing child that's on their site should contact their caseworker to find out more information about the equipment, because I guess it's pretty sophisticated.
That's a good idea.
We actually had that this past weekend on the law enforcement. They served search warrants on some properties here in town, and they actually had the King County Sheriff's Department come down and assist them. King County, for those of you that don't know, a Washington area is Seattle. It's about an hour away. The King County was out here, and when I asked law enforcement why King County was here, worried that maybe there was some connection to, you know, something up in Seattle, they advised me that it was because King County has, like, top-of-the-line equipment. I mean, they have they have the best equipment. If for some reason you're not able to get a hold of the private agencies like that for the equipment, a lot of the big cities also have, you know, real top-of-the-line mobile command centers and searching equipment, as well as access to dogs and so forth. I do know we are here in the Northwest kind of lucky to get, if we can get King County involved, because King County actually is one of the places that people who make equipment for emergency response and so forth, like fire trucks and ambulances and, you know, different things like that, King County is one of the places that usually get those to try them out and test them out. They're kind of like a testing ground for different emergency service makers. Yeah, so in this area, we actually are lucky. We have access if we can get them in. And King County apparently volunteered to bring all of their stuff down and help out with the search.
King County Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, it was King County Sheriff's Department.
Oh, okay.
We have a caller. I'm going to take a call. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I sure can.
I have one question. Suppose someone has a tip and they don't want to report it to the authorities for whatever reason. Is there contact people for these families of missing children that they can report, that a person could report a tip to?
Well, I'll respond for Amber's grandmother. With the case in Escondido, California, Amber Dubois' family, there is a tip line with the police, but we've also set up, especially recently, where the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, had provided $40,000 towards the reward. So at this point, the reward for Amber is $100,000. And we realize that there are people that may know the circumstances of her disappearance. So we have set up a tip line that folks can actually call in order to, talk to the private investigator or leave an anonymous tip, if you will. I'm not sure about the rest of the cases, but if you go to, on that particular case, AmberLeanneDubois.com, you'll find that number there. But what about the rest of you? Do all of your cases have a tip line that's anonymous?
Yes.
Yeah, Jamie does. It's anonymous.
We don't. Lindsay, we have our website that we've had people that didn't want to call the tip line can go to the findlindsaybaum.com or even the lindsaybaum.com, and they can email them directly to us. We are working on trying to get a hotline.
Michelle, Brittany has one too, but it's through the Q Center.
The Q Center.
It's not to the police department, it's through the Q Center. They can call them.
And we understand. Go ahead, Bo.
They can also call the Michigan Center for the Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Yeah,
they can call leadership there too.
Now that's 1-800-THE-LOST, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, because they can call
people,
and tip for that.
But a lot of times people don't want to call these tip lines because, or not just tip lines, but because they know that authorities do not or may not ever follow up, or the, you know, the family may never even know about this tip. I mean, just like in the recent, you know, the girl that was found that's been missing for 18 years.
Yeah.
You know, how many tips were turned in on her? No one will ever know.
Right. A lot of people out there don't want to get involved.
So, you know what, in Tabitha's case, people can contact, you know, Angels Wings Air Search and Rescue. You know, I mean, I promise we are in direct contact with the tutors, you know, and they will know, you know, legitimate.
Does that answer your question, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you all.
Do you have a tip on a missing child, lady?
Well, I do search the internet, and I do keep my eyes open and my ears open. I am a mother myself, so, I mean, I can't even imagine the grief that all you families are going through. But,
and if there's, you know, there's more people in the world than there are criminals, and if we all band together for one national neighborhood watch and utilizing the internet for good purposes, I believe that more of these children will come.
You know, Michelle, we've actually had tips come in via the website at thefindlindsaybaum.com, where they've left us their contact information, and it's usually myself or one of our, what we call our core group from our search center, that contacts them back. So we have actually had tips come in that way. We've actually had quite
a
few.
Awesome.
Okay.
Sometimes no one knows. Their child, I mean, you know, no one knows your child better than you do.
Right.
So.
Well, thank you
and
so much.
And nobody really knows our neighbors anymore either. So if you see or hear something suspicious, and, you know, and you look at the J.C. Dugard case or what have you, if you really feel in your heart and soul that there is something the matter, don't stop with just one call. You
call
push
911.
It you push it. Call 911 and you make a stink about it, because we have the power to have a voice for justice. We have about 7 minutes left, folks. What I'd like to do, we'll take one more call or so. Number is 347-838-8622. As like any show, if we run over, the show will continue going, and you can download it when it's over, but we will end in 7 minutes from the live streaming. But again, you know, you've got Tabitha Tudors, Nashville, Tennessee, 13 years of age, walk into the school bus on April 29th, 2003. She is 19 years of age at this time. She could be the child next door. She could be the, you know, the teenager in college with your friend. She could be roommates with somebody. She could be working down the street at the Pick and Pay. It doesn't matter. She could be on the West Coast. She could be on the East Coast. Your eyes and ears matter. Trenton Duckett, August 22nd, 2006, was 2 years of age. You know, again, despite the fact that he went missing in Florida, does not mean that he cannot be on the West Coast or the South or the North. So keep your eyes and ears open. We've got Lindsay Baum in McCleary, Washington, four blocks from home, is now 11 years of age, missing June 26, 2009. Doesn't mean she can't be in Tacoma, she can't be in Seattle, she can't be in Vancouver, she can't be on the East Coast in New York. She can be anywhere, folks. Jamie Grissom, disappeared December 7th, 1971, would be 53 today, went missing at 16. She may not know who she is, so she may have been brought up to think she's somebody else. So please keep your eyes and ears open. Tika Lewis, 2 years of age, cute little baby, missing since January 23rd, 1999, would be 13 years of age today, from a bowling alley. Folks, if you were at a bowling alley in Tacoma on January 23rd, 1999, and you know something, please call the local authority or call 911. Many of these cases have rewards, like in Amber Dubois' case, missing since Friday, February 13th, 2009 at 7:10 a.m., last seen in front of her high school. She's 14 years of age. $100,000 reward on her case. Brittany Drexel, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, 17 years of age, April 25th, 2009. She's from New York. Doesn't mean she can't be in Hollywood, California, folks. $16,000 reward on her case. Tika Lewis, $26,000. All of these folks have rewards attached to them. You want to stay anonymous? Please, 1-800-THE-LOST. You know, call National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. You can call us at the National Vigil for Hope. Go to nationalvigilforhope.org. You can, you know, make a call to whomever. 911 is your best bet. Case numbers and everything else are on the flyers that can be found on everybody's websites, which can also be found on, again, nationalvigilforhope.org. Our next show, before we wrap things up, our next show will be this Sunday. Join us for a special show with journalist and reporter Mark Williams. We're going to be exploring the Kaylee Anthony case and the recent document release that was released yesterday. We'll also be discussing other cases in Florida. Florida seems like they have had a lot of missing children's cases come up, like Aji Desir, and other cases of that nature. But obviously the big one right now everybody has been hearing, Haley Cummings. Again, doesn't mean she's not on the West Coast or the North or the South of this country, folks. So join us this Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. That would be 12 noon Eastern time, for an hour of speaking with Mark Williams. Before we finish with our guests, I'd like to thank the callers tonight. We'll also thank the listeners, and most importantly, we're so appreciative that our guests came on this evening. Our hearts and prayers, and you know, a lot of you I talk to every day, hearts and prayers are with all of you as you continue your search efforts for your children. We've got about 2 minutes for the live streaming portion of this. Dawn, do you have any last thoughts?
I just want to say that, you know, we all need to stick together, and we're all in this together. And, you know, if anybody ever needs to contact me, you know, I'm there for you. I'm there for support. I'm sure that you can get my number from Michelle. Michelle, you've been a blessing to me. Thank you very much for getting Brittany out there.
No problem. Whatever we can do to help you, Dawn. And that goes for Chad and also your mom, Linda. You know, like Teresa said, it doesn't stop with the parents. The entire family goes through anguish when this happens. Teresa, any last thoughts?
I'm glad that Melissa gave me your number. You know, I hope that my daughter can get out there more. Actually, I'm doing something Friday for my daughter. Actually, I have a TV show coming to me on Friday.
Oh, wonderful.
And my daughter will... And hopefully it gets worldwide.
Oh, are they coming to your house on Friday too?
Yes.
Because I was talking to them
today. All
right,
girls. Well, as soon as that's done taping, you let us know, and we will let the world know about it. I can't do it as best as they can, but we'll be there to support your efforts. What about Star? Any last thoughts?
Just that Jamie's search was coming up October 10th, and people take a look at her website, helpfindjamiegrissom.com. And thank you very much, Michelle.
You're welcome, Star. Beau, any last thoughts, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I thank you for doing this, and thank you for trying to find every missing child out there. That's what everybody needs to do.
Yep.
And, you know, the world is just, it's crazy. It's a mixed up place to raise children in now. You don't know who to trust anymore. And there again, just thank y'all for everything y'all doing.
You're welcome, sir. And we hope to bring Tabitha home soon. I know I know that you all are on a lot of good leads for that. So, Melissa, any last thoughts?
I just want to thank everybody. Thank you. And I'd really like to thank all of the people who have come out and helped us with our searches that are going on. We've got another one going this weekend, all weekend, and we finally have a building, so it's going to be much better, more organized from now on. And basically just, you know, check out my daughter's website. It's findlindsaybaum.com. For any information, you can print flyers, you can print her pictures, as well as the song that was written by Eric Paul. And he's actually got a second one out, so that'll be on the website as soon as we are able to get it on.
Well, that's good. And for all of your families, know that if you have events and you have vigils and you have searches that you need helping hands and volunteers for, please, by all means, let us know. And we'll put that on National Vigil for Hope. The next National Vigil for Hope is scheduled for May 15th, 2010. So I'm letting the listeners know that on May 15th, we'll do our next National Vigil for Hope, and hopefully all of these children that are being represented this evening will be home safe and sound by then. But unfortunately, the reality is that there's still going to be over 300,000 other children that are still missing, and we need to keep their faces and cases visible. So go to nationalvigilforhope.org and find out more about how you can join us and partner with us for that. Kathy, any last thoughts, my friend?
No, ma'am. I think, you know, I just want to let everyone know that, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you. We've got our eyes open, and we are definitely looking, you know, for all of these missing children.
And one last thing from National, from Angel Wings. How's things going with the organization?
Well, I mean, it's slowly getting there. It's just taking time. It's taking time.
Good things are worth waiting for.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you let us know, you know, you let us know when we can help you with that.
I sure will, and I appreciate that.
Okay,
you know, keep their hope and faith, and, you know, that's what's going to bring your children home.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening, and thank you for having a voice for justice. Good night, everyone.
Good night.